If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Ride with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Ride for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Ride for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
All right, everybody. It is Monday, August the 11th. It's what we call at Post Wrestling Nate Milton Day. Happy birthday to the Godfather himself, brother.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Amazing. Happy birthday.
Yes, he reclaimed his birthday this year.
What do you mean?
He used to share it with Terry Bollea.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes.
He would make that joke every year that he shared it with him as well. So happy birthday to Nate Milton. Only John Pollock can segue a happy birthday into a plug, because Nate is back on Sunday with the NWA podcast, the Nate Milton birthday celebration this Sunday. They're going to have a 7-hour party.
I think they have a lot to catch up on for the month.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. They have not done a show of the past couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. Quick notes, everybody that is a member of the Post Wrestling Cafe, the place to be this summer. We've gotten a lot of praise for our debut review of Unreal episode 1. So episode 2 will be reviewed on Tuesday with Wei Ting and I talking about the push.
The push, that's correct. Yeah, episode 2, focusing on the Royal Rumble and Jey Uso's win, of course. So a lot of discussion about that. We're taking our time with these Unreal episodes. I think for a lot of people, some of you may not even have had time to really like jump into it yet, but we will be talking about each one by one, one per week. Episode 2 this week. We'll try to dive in at least as deep as we can, giving you guys a pretty, you know, and hopefully engaging discussion about each episode.
It's the final week of the G1 Climax, and we're going to have shows coming out Thursday with Kate from Montreal and Bruce Lord. They will be covering the final day of the B-Block matches and the quarterfinals that take place Thursday. Saturday, Wei and I are getting together, and we will review the penultimate night of the G1, setting up Sunday's final, where the roundtable of Karen Peterson, Bruce Lord, and WH Park will cover the final night of the G1 and how this year's tournament stacked up to years prior. Who gets the big victory other than the C Block, where I feel there will be a coronation ceremony this time next week of one Wei Ting, who is he is leading things. Anything can happen. He's still got one more day to pull through. But Wei Ting, he's been in a commanding lead. He has been the Verstappen of this year's C Block.
Let's just say I'm printing the T-shirts already. Okay, I got the hats printed. You know, we're bringing the trophy to every event where I can clinch this. Perhaps even next week or Wednesday, I should say.
And a final thing I wanted to mention, that this Saturday night with Triple Mania taking place from Mexico City, we are going to have the Cubs fan from Lucha Blog. He will be doing coverage on the site Saturday night with a full report on Triple Mania. So always great when the Cubs fan comes over for some post-wrestling action. And tonight we're going to Quebec City for some action. It was brought to my attention last week that I repeatedly stated that this week's Raw was going to be in Ottawa, and realized it was a Quebec City. I think what threw me off was Michael Cole referring to this as the capital of Quebec, and I assumed capital of the country, and was mistaken. So sorry, Ottawa.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
The idea that Raw would call yourself Ottawa, a Canadian. What a ridiculous notion that they would book a show in Ottawa. I mean, you don't go to Ottawa. You drive through Ottawa, right?
Like, oh, ouch.
Sorry. But 9,291 of you showed up at Centre Vidéotron in Quebec City for this episode of Raw. And what better way? The first word out of Michael Cole's mouth, bonjour.
Of course.
Making up for lost time on Friday's show. And right off the bat, they state that Naomi is not medically cleared. They announced this about an hour or so before Raw, her match with Io Sky thrown out. And we don't really know anything more than that. It was interesting that there are plenty of people that, and this is completely on WWE in what that everyone is, the knee jerk is that this is a storyline. And I don't doubt anyone is not going to have part of that thinking. I think watching tonight, it really did feel like this show got thrown for a loop with this match out. And like Rhea had really no purpose on this show. Stephanie Vaquer had no purpose on this show. They ended up making Becky Lynch's match with Maxine into a title match after it was originally a non-title. And they did put EO into a match. So don't know what the deal is, but we can talk about it now. The Stephanie Vaquer segment, if you caught what she said, like it made it sound like she might not be ready for Clash in Paris, because Vaquer made it sound like you're not the only one who lost a title match, and would make it seem like something more serious than just a one-week deal.
Yeah. Clash in Paris, not for 3 weeks almost.
Yeah.
Almost four. And so we have like zero reports, I believe, or zero indication of what Naomi may be suffering from. So it's completely just up to speculation at this moment. But the fact that it could last potentially up for that amount of time, I guess would certainly be concerning. But we also don't, we might be reading a little much into this. It could just be them hedging their bets in case something were to be prolonged. But at the moment, we have no idea what's wrong with Naomi.
CM Punk started the show. He's got a Seth Rollins problem, and he said that Seth is trying his best to be CM Punk, and he's failing. I let you guys down at SummerSlam, but now I'm more possessed than ever to become the champion, and does acknowledge that he did himself cash in a time or two before, and says, the saying is, don't hate the player, hate the game, but he does hate the player regarding Seth Rollins, and threatens to break the man's legs.
Well, he's saying you wouldn't have to fake your injury once I get done with you, because you'll have broken legs from me.
Yeah. Go have your child tell that to her teacher. Nah, and the teacher wouldn't believe it this time. LA Knight interrupts and shakes his hand and tells Punk, you know, you were robbed. You deserved a rematch, but last week was my chance and you were wrong place, wrong time. And again, I don't have a problem with you, but you take care of Seth on your time, not mine, and says that you can have a rematch after I get mine. Punk explains that he saved LA Knight's career as you were about to get your head stomped into the floor like a coconut. You've also never been champion. And then Knight says that, Punk, you're not on my level. And I'll forget last week happened as long as it doesn't happen again. You go beat Seth. I'm going to become champion. And Punk, you can be my first title defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually thought their interaction was quite compelling, you know, for two people that I don't recall having, that I've seen before, having this sort of like one-on-one, you know, verbal sort of mic battle. I thought they both sounded pretty natural and charismatic in their own way. I mean, they're two of the most charismatic speakers currently in the company. And I thought both of them conveyed their motivations pretty clearly.
And Paul Heyman interrupts them with Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker, now with a pair of Roman's sneakers. And Heyman comes in.
Two pairs,
yes.
Yeah.
Heyman starts speaking French and mentions Frank Valois, a name I never thought I would hear in WWE. Edouard Carpentier. Frank Valois was like a really, really like well-known like promoter, and was a promoter of Andre the Giant. And it was, you know, he had ties with like Vince McMahon Sr., yeah, very well known in Montreal wrestling history, and French wrestling history as well. And then also mentioned Georges St-Pierre as his three examples of a Quebecois.
The few words of French he actually knows.
And then is done speaking your guttural language, and this crowd just chanted him down. He asked for subtitles on what they were calling him, and he warns LA Knight not to get into the favor business with CM Punk. It will cost you everything. Punk calls out the Braun Bronze, so Heyman proposes a tag match and has attached with them the nicknames of the future of WrestleMania and the owner of the Shula Falla. Seems equal. Yeah. And yeah. Punk goes to accept. LA Knight says, no one speaks for me. But then he accepts as well. And the segment ends with Breaker trying to charge the ring and yells at Punk, what? You're 47. What are you going to do? And then looks at Knight. And you're 40. You're 100 years old combined. As we got some loose Steiner math here.
Yeah, yeah. Close enough. Yeah. 87. But, I mean, you could round up. LA Knight is actually 42, so he's actually closer than we think.
Oh, look at that. So they're basically,
pretty much 100. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I enjoyed the opening segment. I mean, I think that, you know, they're building a good storyline between these two and Rollins championship, along with, of course, Jey Uso and Roman Reigns that's attached to all of this, of course.
Finn Balor's with the Judgment Day and is giving a pep talk to Raquel and Roxanne, telling them, don't listen to what they're saying about you. They're like, what are they saying about us? They're just haters. Dom brings in El Grande Americano, and Balor explains they don't want him here. And Dom explains, I'm just using him for Triple Mania to bring the mega championship to the Judgment Day. And that's how our segment ends. Dom will be teaming with El Grande Americano later, and Raquel and Roxanne are off to see Adam Pearce. So Dominic and El Grande taking on AJ Styles and Dragon Lee. Graves notes that he will be calling Triple Mania with John Layfield.
Yeah, they announced that, I believe. JBL. Yes. So, sorry, Conan. Looks like you were not well reviewed. JBL is certainly an interesting choice. I mean, I think he's a very entertaining commentator and has been involved in Triple A, I believe. So hopefully he knows the storylines. And even if he doesn't, I guess that's Corey's job. And Layfield is just there to provide some personality, which I'm sure he will do.
Ah, Corey, it's El Hijo del Vikingo. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll be fine. We'll see how that goes.
I mean, I think for some people, that'll be a point of attraction to hear JBL on commentary. Yeah.
This match went nearly 17 minutes. It went through multiple commercial breaks. Of course, Dragon Lee got his mask tied to the turnbuckle, a favorite. Lee knocks Grande off the buckle, lands a double stomp, and then Dom yanks AJ off the apron and gets sent into the timekeeper's area by AJ. So AJ finally gets the hot tag. Lee does a monkey flip, sending Dominic into the Styles Clash. Not quite a Brodito level with the monkey flip setup, but not bad here. Grande shoves Dragon Lee off the top, and then Grande puts the plate into his mask, but Styles knocks the plate out of the mask, landing by Dom, who's got his mask, puts the object in, headbutts AJ, and that leads to El Grande Americano pinning AJ Styles, who maybe after this finish was asking, let's talk about Bound for Glory. I think I could be doing some things with TNA.
Well, you know, these metal plates in the luchador mask, man, it's hard to get away from them. So in that sense, he was somewhat protected. I thought it was a fun match. I thought they successfully built to that AJ hot tag. And that was like to me, a pretty cool monkey flip into a Styles Clash. Mm-hmm. You had some unbelievable reactions from this crowd towards Dom and Americano. They, to me, are two of the hottest heels in the company. Dom is certainly already there. But like this gimmick for El Grande Americano was already awesome with Gable. Kaiser in these few weeks has, I think, really managed to really make it his own, and he looks very comfortable in there. But he's distinct enough, you know, so that by the time Gable does come back, all of these Americanos can coexist and they can all be their own thing. And I think it could be a fun interaction between all of them. So I thought it was a good preview of both Triple Mania, and also it continues the AJ and Dom feud, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really, like, I think the heat is going to be through the off the charts on Saturday for this, mm-hmm. this four-way. And you've got, you know, you've got Ludwig Kaiser with Vikingo, with Dragon Lee and Dominic. Like, I think that match is going to be pretty spectacular, or at least has the chance to be.
I think the crowd reactions will be really interesting to study, because, like, Americano is actually I think, loved by the Mexicans.
And Dominic and El Grande Americano could be like the big stars to this audience that they get most behind, because they are like the biggest like WWE stars that are in this match.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the carousel of co-hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Wei answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com. Zayn meets up with Adam Pearce. He's asking about the title match at Clash in Paris and says how, "I want to become a champion. I just need a chance." And Pearce just tells him, "Get through tonight first." And when Sheamus comes in, Zayn tells him not to get involved with Rusev tonight. Sheamus gives him his word, but as soon as the match ends, "I'm coming for Rusev." And this didn't turn out well for Sami Zayn, who will not be getting the title match at Clash in Paris through no fault of his own tonight.
I mean, yeah, I really do think he should have aimed a bit lower and maybe asked for a match against the person he pinned on Friday.
Nah, he's above that. He's explained. He doesn't want this U.S. title.
Yeah, Neil was right. You know, he called it. He's like, yeah, this is the one, you know, there's nothing. Clearly, Sami Zayn does not want this U.S. championship whatsoever.
Pierce then speaks with Io Sky that Naomi is not cleared. Perez and Raquel enter, make fun of Io. The challenge is made, and boom, we have an open slot on the show. Bruce Pritchard, I'm sorry. I know that we have a hard out. We got to make room for this match on this very tightly bound show.
Well, we were missing a match, therefore we had all this empty time, didn't we?
What were they going to do if this mockery by Roxanne and Raquel did not occur?
You know,
I'm sorry, Mr. Pritchard. I'm trying to make this guy happy. That's all I'm trying to do.
Is he mad at me?
He's not mad, is he?
Be happy with yourself.
Sami Zayn and Rusev, their first singles match in 8 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exciting.
Right? Why the need to add sarcasm?
I'm not being sarcastic.
Some
I was
people
excited.
Are genuinely, this is an interesting stat that I think they were right to bring up. Eight years is a long time.
Sami hits the Arabian press and a tornado DDT, goes for the Huluva kick right into a Machka kick. And Zayn fights off the accolade. Exploder gets blocked. And then Graves with the line of the night. The 10 beats of the Bulgarian are delivered to Sami Zayn. But he recovers, hits the Exploder, goes for the Huluva, but once again is thwarted by JC Mateo and Tonga Loa for the DQ at 9 minutes and 48 seconds. Tala Tonga drills him with a boot as Solo Sikoa directs traffic. So, I mean, it might be Sami Zayn kicking and screaming, but I do think he's going to get this U.S. title match. I think he's going to be forced to have to go for this belt.
He has to reluctantly compete for this championship that nobody could ever want, held by Solo Sikoa. So I guess that's his campaign. And I mean, they are continuing to tease Sami's long-term story of wanting to be champion. It's just, he's
going to be at the end of the ESPN deal.
Yeah. He's going to be the ESPN deal or maybe the Paramount deal for, UFC. Going to be that long.
Yeah.
It'd be seven years instead of five.
I would love Sami Zayn to do commentary on a UFC broadcast. See what he says about UFC for 7 hours.
Yeah. Once certain celebrities walk into the building.
Look, there's JD Vance. Immediately, as the match ends, Sheamus drills Rusev with this knee, and he fights off security and fights into the crowd as Michael Cole calls on the Mounties to separate them.
Yes.
He's waiting for PCO and Jacques to separate them. But
yeah. I was actually enjoying Zayn and Rusev. I think they have like a good, you know, sort of like monster underdog type of chemistry that I haven't really been seeing, of course, from Sheamus versus Rusev. Nonetheless, I thought like Sheamus and Rusev had a really good high energy brawl which I think works out really well for them, you know, compared to maybe just having the type of like banger strong style type of match that I think they were trying for initially. Just doing these sort of like through the arena brawls a la Bronson Reed and what Braun Strowman, I think ultimately works a bit better for this.
I guess Sami Zayn is never going to be told that he was right all along after his SummerSlam win.
We'll see, John. We'll see how this
unfolds. The third installment of the documentary.
Yeah.
I was wrong. It's going to be a 3-second doc.
Yeah.
MFTs are getting thrown out of the building. Pierce is on the phone with Aldis, all pissed off. Aldis, I could only imagine what Aldis is like. Don't call me on a Monday night. I'm not watching. Who cares? We just share talent. I can't control what's going on.
Well, explain this
here
to me. Explain how like he's so upset about these MFTs, but here we have LA Knight in the main event of his own show.
Yeah, remember when Sammy just showed up as a guest on your show on Friday? Like, this is how this works, okay? Yeah. So
I mean, I guess you could show up through prior negotiation. I guess that's what we're led to believe. Like, the you know, you've cleared these cross-brain appearances in advance, but these guys not like coming without a pass, I mean, that's just not allowed.
And then Adam Pearce walks into New Day and
Big G.
And I'm not kidding you. They complain about Xavier's sombrero being destroyed last week, and that is the impetus for Xavier Woods versus Penta, that we are going to have a week to promote over this sombrero.
Yeah.
Are we sure Vince isn't back?
You know, if he's sending notes, it'd probably be just for this Grayson Waller New Day story. Yeah. Yeah, it's been awful. It's been really, really terrible.
This is awful.
New Day have been really, really bad since that heel turn. Heel turn was great. Everything afterwards, just awful.
Bronson Reed video is next, explaining how he earned Rollins' respect after attacking him to get an invite into the Vision. He doesn't want Roman Reigns' respect. I've punked you out twice, and I'm going to keep adding to my collection until you acknowledge me as the tribal thief. So he's just going to keep stealing. This is like the bully in the schoolyard. I'm going to keep stealing your shoes until you acknowledge me. So what we can say coming out of this, Roman is advertised for the next two Mondays on Raw. And very clearly, Roman is not going to be in the title picture. And it does look like we're going to Bronson Reed and Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
probably for Paris. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it looks that way.
So that would get, yeah, we'll go over where the Clash in Paris card is afterward. Io runs into the Kabuki Warriors, and Io says, "What are you guys here for tonight?" And they're like, "Ah, we're just sightseeing, want to see Canada." And they offer to be in Io's corner tonight, and Io, says, "You know what? I prefer my chances being outnumbered than having you two in my corner." And they're like, okay, cool. No problem. No issues here. So Roxanne Perez versus Io Sky with Raquel in the corner. Early on, Io Sky does a flip, lands on her feet, and hits the mysterious dinosaur kick, sending Perez to the floor.
We have been corrected. Apparently, they've been calling that Gunther's drop kick for quite some time now, the dinosaur kick.
I don't believe that. I dispute that. There's a quebrada by Perez for a two count. Sky comes back, hits a missile off the top, and then the bullet train attack connects. Sky gets yanked onto the top rope, and then Perez hits a top rope Rana. Perez grabs the ring skirt. This distracts the referee, so Perez rakes the eyes, hits a Shining Wizard, then a La Mystica into a crossface. Sky is out, and then would hit a Acai moonsault to both Perez and Raquel. Then she goes for over the moonsault, and Perez puts her feet up, but Sky comes down, and it's like her shins come down on top of Perez. This, and she's like grabbing her arm. I had like memories of that that Kurt Angle moonsault onto Hardcore Holly where he shattered his forearm. This looked brutal, and this was like the nastiest, like, get your feet up blocking a moonsault spot you are going to see.
The match was going almost like flawlessly from these two until that particular moment, and I mean, we've seen Io deliver a million moonsaults. They've never really turned out this way. So I don't, I mean, obviously it was just a poor positioning from one of them. And it resulted in a really scary moment because it almost looked like she landed her full weight onto Roxanne. Obviously that wasn't the case and they were both okay afterwards. But I mean, it was a rough landing for the both of them.
Eo on her
knees, and
Eo was like clutching at her knee, and yeah. Roxanne's grabbing the arm. It's like both of them took mm-hmm. the punishment off of this. Sane and Asuka run down and they're holding on to Perez. Eo runs at her, nearly runs into Sane and Asuka, stops, and Perez shoves Sky into the Kabuki Warriors and rolls her up, grabbing the tights for the win in 15 minutes and 38 seconds. So, yes, and we are, well, backstage we would have Eo Sky upset with the Kabuki Warriors for getting involved, and then Asuka shoving Eo and storming off as Kairi Sane is caught in the middle. So we have a dissension among the former group members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First of all, I thought the match was really, really strong, really, really excellent up until some of the unfortunate landings at the end. Great chemistry between these two, and of course, like, they're two of the strongest performers in the entire division. I mean, in Eo's case, one of the strongest performers in the entire company. So I think both of them are two of the people responsible, I think, for some of the like consistent quality in the women's division on Raw lately. So this match I thought was great up until that unfortunate moonsault, and then all the stuff with the Kabuki Warriors trying to intervene I thought was very unconvincing, and I understand it was meant to be somewhat awkward, but I just felt like it could have been a bit more cleanly conveyed to, I guess, look less intentional. So I didn't really love all of that, but it was still a great match by the end, and I certainly still look forward to seeing the next Roxanne versus Eo match. But as far as like the descent goes, I think it's about time, you know, like this damage control has just kind of lingered for a long time.
Well, get to Asuka into something. Like, yeah. She's come back and she's just been a non-entity, and she's one of the best women wrestlers that they have on any of their rosters. I would like to see her involved in something more. And if it's Eo Sky, great.
It means we're moving closer to an Eo Sky versus Asuka match, maybe an Eo Sky versus Kairi match. And this is the type of story that, you know, with the Kabuki Warriors turning on Eo, which would be the presumed direction, it would make Eo into a much more sympathetic babyface. And Asuka, and by extension Kairi, much bigger presences on the show.
Jackie catches up with Jey Uso, who missed Raw due to some family business last week, but he's got receipts coming for the attack on Roman. And LA Knight walks in and says the line starts behind him. So you have Punk, LA Knight, and now Jey Uso, who all want title shots. And then at the end of this, I don't know if you caught this line, Jey welcomes LA Knight to Raw. Can you tell me, was LA Knight on Raw?
Fuck. So he's a SmackDown guy, but I guess he's getting a
He specifically a title shot welcomed on Raw? Him to Raw. Dude, I could not tell you what brand this guy is on. Not a prayer. And I was not about to look it up.
I'm pretty sure now you got me questioning it. I'm pretty sure he was a SmackDown guy up until his defeat. Wait, why did he face Seth Rollins at Saturday Night's Main Event? Let me think about this. How did he get the match against Rollins at Saturday Night's Main Event?
I mean, they were like, Seth had been attacking him, and that's how they set it up. Like,
did Seth attack him on SmackDown?
Please, why?
Who cares? Who gives a shit?
We may have gotten Sami Zayn moving to SmackDown on Friday and LA Knight to Raw on Monday, maybe.
Fine, whatever.
Sky is upset. We went over that segment. Becky Lynch, Maxine Dupri for the Intercontinental title, Natalya and Tozawa in the corner. Maxine surprises her with an arm drag, and so Becky just unloads on her with stomps, telling her she doesn't deserve to be here. She hits three Bexploders and goes for the manhandle slam, which Maxine turns into a stunner and then moves to the ankle lock. And when Becky breaks it, she does a cartwheel and a flip, which Kurt never did.
No, so Maxine Dupri is better?
That was the conclusion most came to, I'm sure, in Quebec City. So she hits a high cross for a two count, and then Becky grabs the rope for leverage on a cover, rolls into the disarmer, and boom, you get the immediate tap at 5 minutes and 35 seconds. A fine performance, I thought, from Maxine for a 5.5 minute match. This was not like the match of the show or anything, but, you know.
Are you sure about that?
This?
Are you sure it wasn't the match of the show? I mean, I'm just amused.
You know what? This is not a show that that certainly. We can talk about some of the finishes afterwards, but this seemed to be just setting up Becky with Natalya next because she hit her with a cheap shot afterward, and that feels like a TV match.
So I had curiosity about this match, but just because it's been so long since we've seen Maxine in a singles match, and I definitely think you could notice improvement from her in that time. I would hope that there would be, you know, with the amount of time that we've had. She's still a far cry from being considered, I would even say, even close to the standard of certainly the main roster, but even, in my opinion, NXT. The gimmick, though, is
she,
that Max...
She should have been in NXT all this time. Like,
I guess so. But even time in NXT, I don't know if like she would have improved to a significant degree. The gimmick, though, is that she is so, I want to say, completely off the radar in terms of her skill level compared to the standard, that we have such low expectations for her that it she really feels like a fish out of water here. And that's what made to me like some of the interest in the match appealing. It's essentially Becky Lynch taking on a non-wrestler, yes. You know, or somebody as close to a non-wrestler as you can get. And so I found it fun watching Becky play this sort of overconfident bully. But I will say, by this point, we've seen Maxine enough to know that she's not a complete novice. And in fact, we kind of have somewhat, like, I wouldn't say high expectations of her, but we do have some expectations of her, at least an expectation of her being significantly improved, or at least the degree improved from where she was before. And she hasn't.
Listen, everyone thinks about the Rhea Ripley match, and that was just a disaster.
She hasn't shown enough improvement. I mean, if the improvement is there, it's that she didn't mess up and the match didn't derail. And that's just not enough. You know,
the bar is so much higher for everyone, male, female. Like, that's what we're talking about here. Like, when we're talking about an Ashanti, the Adonis, like, it's just like you have so many people in your pipeline, and like it's been said before. The fact is that like there is going to be like a turnover when it comes to like, if after a certain amount of time, they're going to look at where is this person and do we see them ascending to a higher level, or is it like you reach that limit where it's like this is just, you haven't progressed at that stage yet.
And in the case of a Jade Cargill, I think those expectations are even higher because she's being put in championship matches. With Maxine, at least like she's just sort of occasional. But even on an occasional level, I mean, there wasn't even that big spot in this match where we could say, wow, that looked really good, or that was really impressive, like an Ocean Cyclone suplex or something like that. I think they might have attempted that in like, I don't know, like the ankle lock or like the cartwheels, but that really didn't, I mean, it got some reaction from this crowd, but not enough of a reaction to make you feel like this was some sort of moral victory for Maxine. By the end, it was just a bit of a flat match.
Also, nothing involving Nikki Bella on this show with Becky. I don't think they even like mentioned her.
You're right.
The Becky stuff.
Yeah. Well, so. they got a few weeks, don't they? She's gonna work through Natalya and then Nikki.
Yeah. Conceivably.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
The Vision are in their locker room, and Rollins insults Quebec City and explains that tonight's about you guys, Bronson and Braun, and I'm going to leave. Mm-hmm. He came all the way to announce he's leaving.
Well, his wife was on the show.
I guess so.
In an RV.
This was worth the trip to see the 5-minute Maxine Dupri match. This was during the commercial break. Grayson came out to introduce the New Day, and Kofi insulted the crowd, saying, "You aren't even real Canada. You are French Canada." And the crowd did not like this. They got very livid at this designation by Kofi Kingston. Then there was another video, this one on Bayley, who, like, this is Bayley looking into the camera and says that she has never felt this way. "I want more, but I feel less. She thought she could be an asset to this women's division, but I'm all by myself now, and it's all gotten her nowhere. I have no titles, and I have no wins lately, it's my fault. And then she like rubs the side of her head and we hear a ding dong sound and we just cut away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we've seen plenty of like losing streak gimmicks result in some sort of like character growth, and that's obviously what we're getting to hear. Whatever they're doing here, I almost got like sort of like, not to say that they're going to be connected, but it felt like something similar to some sort of like Bray Wyatt type of like awakening of like a darker side of her.
Felt and, like a split personality deal.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever it is, they seem to be promising a drastic character change for Bayley. So, I mean, I'm at the very least interested. I mean, it could turn out great. It could turn out awful, but either way, they're hinting at a big swing coming up.
Jackie and Lyra react to this video that they have seen now in real time. And she asks Lyra, what are your thoughts? And she says, well, I hope Bayley's okay. It's not over what I said last week, is it? No, of course not. I'm justified with what I said last week. I can't challenge for the IC title anymore. So I hope she's okay, but it's not my problem.
Hmm. Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's not my fault?
It's not her fault. No, yeah. No. Her and her Becky Stompers. This is when EO meets Stephanie Vaquer, who says, you weren't the only one promised a title match. EO then walks into Rhea Ripley, and Rhea says that Asuka and Kairi should have listened to you, and EO tells Rhea to stay out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know EO and Rhea are long-term rivals, but I can see them pausing that for a while because we've already seen it so much this year. So, I mean, I can in fact see this beginning to tease some sort of team up between the two as some form of like, you know, female mega powers, and a team between them versus the Kabuki Warriors, I think makes a lot of sense. I also wonder if like what we're seeing right now is the beginnings of a potential War Games build for the women, where you have on the babyface side like EO, Rhea, maybe Stephanie, and then you got Raquel, Roxanne, Asuka, Kairi on the heel side of things as well.
What if Bayley's on both sides? She teams with both teams.
In wrestling, I'm sure we've had many instances where that could be possible. But yeah, who knows?
I'm curious what. Like, obviously, EO is doing the match with Naomi, but I am curious, like, what roles Vaquer and Rhea had on this show, because it just kind of felt as though this was,
mm-hmm.
you know, just, I'm sure it, like, affected plans. That's how it felt watching it.
Mm.
SmackDown, all they have announced is that Drew McIntyre will address his attack on Cody Rhodes and the main event, LA Knight, CM Punk against Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. Much like SmackDown, a house show main event is what I felt this was, with a non-house show finish. Punk and Knight get send the heels to the floor, and we get the heat on Punk forever. Finally, he works his way to tag Knight, and then it's Braun with the leaping clothesline to LA Knight on the desk. That's our second commercial break. Now it's the heat on LA Knight as he fights and fights. Punk gets distracted by Braun, is not there for the tag. They hit the Steinerizer onto Knight. Punk makes the save, and finally, the hot tag is made. Punk lands his insane-looking top rope elbow, where you just think this guy is like falling out of an airplane and just plunging to the grass. Lands it on Bron Breakker.
It is probably the ugliest elbow that somebody does on a regular basis.
I think it adds the charm to it. It's like, here is like a man. CM Punk should not be doing slick athletic moves. Like, it's a CM Punk, like, just this guy's held together by like bubble gum and glue.
This was very much, I think, the case in watching his UFC fights, but in wrestling, he can actually get away with it. Yeah.
So Punk hits the elbow on Braun, calls for the GTS when Seth runs in for the DQ. So we'll get into this post-match, but let's just go through this. We had the foreign object used by Dominic and El Grande Americano. We had a DQ with Sami Zayn and Rusev. We had Roxanne beating EO with the help of, with Kairi and Asuka getting involved. Becky Lynch was our cleanest match that we had, and then we had this DQ finish. The totality of it all left a bit to be desired.
I think for me, like, it's been a long time since I've like looked towards Monday Night Raw as some sort of like place to where I expect, you know, great matches and clean finishes. They've conditioned me long enough, you know.
Don't give up, Way.
I just don't even look towards that sort of expectation. But it's something you can definitely complain about, you know, like some sort of the laziness and in the outs and in the finishes. Their ultimate goal of all of this is to build towards whatever next, you know, big PLE match is. Yes, I understand. I do wish there were more creative ways in just the infinite sort of like possibilities within the framework of pro wrestling that you could get there besides just another DQ finish.
So with the Vision beating down on LA Knight and CM Punk, Jey Uso arrives with a chair, attacks Breaker. Bronson Reed swats the chair right out of Jay's hands, but Jey regains the chair and attacks Breaker with it. And he's standing tall with Punk and Knight when Adam Pearce comes out, stating to Seth, "I'm not angry, but I see an opportunity." And he announces Rollins will defend the World Heavyweight title at Clash in Paris against LA Knight, Jey Uso, and CM Punk in a fatal four-way. That prompts Punk and Knight to all of a sudden get physical. Jey yanks Knight off and eats an elbow. And then as Punk goes for a GTS, he gets speared by the returning Braun Breaker. The Vision beat him down. OTC chant, "Not for you, Canada. You got to wait to go to Philadelphia next
week."
Didn't
you see the announced bookings? He's not doing 3 weeks in a row. Are you kidding me?
No, you don't get Naomi. You don't get Roman. You're lucky we sent Jey up to Canada. Braun then springs and he sprints around the ring, spears LA Knight on the floor. There's a tsunami to Jey, and then Seth hits stomps to all three babyfaces as they are left. Reed as well started fish hooking CM Punk as they held him in position. That was especially gross. And so it's the Vision with the big beatdown and our title match set up for Clash in Paris.
I gotta say, like, they've done a great job. Well, he's done a great job, and they have done a great job making Bronson Reed feel like a significant member of this group rather than just a background player. I mean, whoever came up with the shoe thing, I think it's kind of made him a bit of a star, you know, as much as a tsunami has. You can even argue maybe more so. And even in a scene like this, just doing something like the fish hook, something like very unexpected and original, just kind of makes him stand out. So by this point, it doesn't just feel like this is the Seth Rollins, Braun Breaker show. Bronson Reed feels like a very significant member. And if he's going to have a match against Roman Reigns on a PLE, yeah, of course, you can understand why.
Yeah, so I don't know if they've updated this poster, but Roman is like the poster now for Clash in Paris. So, I mean, I would expect that match. And so we've got Seth, Punk, Jey, and LA Knight. John Cena against Logan Paul. And tentatively, Naomi and Stephanie Vaquer. So, I mean, if we're expecting... Cena and Logan
Paul.
Oh, did
you mention already?
Yes, of course. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're adding Reigns and Braun to this show, that's four matches right there as well. We'll see what France gets.
Yeah. Dom AJ? Did you mention that?
Has Dominic and AJ been added?
No, but I'm suggesting.
AJ. Oh.
AJ is a big draw for France. I can see that.
Oh, that's right. Ice bath AJ for, yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know about that one. But there you go, everybody. That was Raw. Your feelings overall.
I feel like they did a good job like setting the pieces for the main event here at Clash in Paris with the three challengers going up against Seth Rollins. I'll say it to me, it's a very clear B show level main event, but then I think you're kind of offset by the star power of a Cena versus Logan Paul, which to many people may also feel like.
But that might be the main event on the show. It's
sure.
It's going to be the loudest is for Cena.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I mean, a lot of people may look at Logan Paul Cena as a B show main event, but I think in terms of like star attraction,
You're getting Cena on this show. Sensible. You're getting Roman Reigns on this show. Mm-hmm. You're getting CM Punk on this show. So it's like they are putting like their big stars onto the show.
Whatever is the case with this Naomi situation, if they did have to rewrite the show last minute, I thought they did a good job in at least giving us like a very compelling, you know, EO versus Roxanne match up until, of course, you know, the DQ finish. But I am also curious about whatever they're building towards with the Kabuki Warriors and EO Sky and what seems to be a breakup there.
It's a little thing, and I don't think anyone probably cared, but the fact is they felt compelled to make the Becky Maxine match into a title match just because we promoted a title match. Like, again, it's probably not a big thing, but they totally did not need to do that, and they felt like, hey, we're at least going to give you a title match some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. So you guys can't complain on the internet.
So Maxine Dupri has now set the bar of how you can get a IC title shot. It's right up there with getting women tag title shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was a satisfying addition of Raw. I'm also somebody who's maybe not that bothered by like the amount of DQ finishes because I guess I didn't really care so much about the results of these matches anyway. I'm just maybe more so watching for their ability to drive interest towards the PLE.
All right, everyone. There are our thoughts on Raw. We're going to say goodbye on the YouTube channel.
A huge edition of the XL edition. That by the way.
We went hard on the news. Nearly over 45 minutes of news. Big, big discussion on the UFC deal with Paramount for $7.7 billion over 7 years. And the UFC getting out of the pay-per-view industry. Like, that is a massive, massive news story. Plus, we went over our reporting today that the WWE will be staging a main roster PLE September 20th, the same night as AEW All Out is scheduled to take place. Plus, going through many other stories, including Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux, and, of course, the G1 Climax, which winds down this week. And who's going to face Zack Sabre Jr. at Forbidden Door? It's not going to be Will Ospreay.
A giant news pack. And, of course, if you are a Post Wrestling Cafe subscriber, you get the extended versions of these particular shows where we don't just review Raw, but talk about some of the top stories of the day, including those. And then the show continues, of course, as we talk about your questions and your feedback.
That's right. Concert reviews, news, it all comes with the XL
the
edition.
Top story. Forget the UFC 7.7 billion. Who cares? John Pollock's time seeing Linkin Park. All right.
There you go, everyone. You should all be
crawling.
Did you mosh?
Did you jump in the mosh pit?
No, and I've got to say that I was not in the mosh pit area, but those that were, this was the most like subdued. Like, there were like a handful of people that tried to get something going like late in the show, and it was not a moshing crowd.
What was the sort of age range that you could tell of?
It was very wide ranging. I wouldn't say like super young, but it was like. It was kind of all over the place. There were teenagers there that you would think like Linkin Park would skew a bit older by now, but it was kind of all over the place. Again, there were so many goddamn people at this thing. Like, I can't stress like how many times I've been to this arena, and I never could recall just looking around, and like there was not a seat visible anywhere in this whole arena.
Why do we have mosh pits in wrestling? Shouldn't that be a thing?
You know what? It's never
too late.
I'll
start one. The same arena for, what is it? All Out. It'll be me.
Okay. You should call it Brawl Out. How about that? No? All right.
Okay.
Goodbye on the YouTube channel. Hit subscribe. We're on the road to 30K. Okay. Mm-hmm. Help Post Wrestling out. And we now continue with your feedback.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.